Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney. You're running the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee midterm efforts. Is that hard? Do you have to go around and counsel other people who are running, or do you have to select candidates? How do you do that?
Well, of course it's hard, but most things in this life worth doing are hard, as my mom always said. So if it's difficult, it's because it's important. And I'm proud that my colleagues have elected me to this leadership position. Makes me the number seven person in the House, I believe. That's not too bad in just 10 years. And it gives me a seat at the table so I can get results for the people I represent. That's why you do these leadership jobs, so you can have a bigger voice in the decisions that, you know, affect the people I represent. So, yeah, it means I got to work a little harder, but, you know, a little hard work never killed anybody.
Can you characterize your trip over across the Atlantic to the Ukrainian area and tell us what you were seeing there?
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, I serve on the House Intelligence Committee, and as you can imagine, there are a lot of activities going on by our intelligence community, CIA, NSA, other agencies that are critically important right now. So first and foremost, we want to see how that's working. We want to understand how the very expensive and sometimes exquisite systems that we invest in, let alone the human beings, how that works in a crisis situation, in an actual shooting war. And what I can tell you is the intelligence community, from my viewpoint, has done the most consequential work since the Cuban Missile Crisis by alerting us to the imminent Russian invasion, by declassifying information so that our allies and partners would believe us and rally behind us. That's why we were ready to go with the weapons that the Ukrainians are using to great effect to win this war, and with the sanctions that are blowing a hole in the Russian economy right now. Usually that would have taken months and months. The administration was ready to go on day one, and my work on the intelligence community, on the intelligence committee, has been to make sure it's working as it should. So we were there meeting with American service members, meeting with Ukrainians, meeting with some people who engage in classified activities for the American government. And what I can tell you is the Ukrainians are absolute heroes, and they are engaged in a desperate, heroic struggle for their freedom, and we should all be proud to be standing with them. And together, we can and are winning this war. But it's not over yet.
Speaking of wars, there is the COVID-19 war. How's that going in the 18th District?
Well, you know, the important thing to me is that hospitalizations and deaths remain low. And as long as that happens, I think most people out there realize that we can deal with the rest of it. I don't think there's any reason to have mask mandates. I think a lot of people will choose to wear a mask, and in different circumstances, we should. If you've had an exposure or obviously been diagnosed, had a positive test result, if you're in a setting where people are vulnerable, you have someone in your family member, you may want to wear a mask. I get that. But I don't think we should mandate it. And I think we're at a point where, because we have invested in good testing and good therapeutics, because we're supporting our healthcare workers, that we can move to another phase of this pandemic. The numbers have been bouncing around a little bit in terms of the number of cases, but I actually think in a world where people don't get very sick, particularly if you've been vaccinated, that's not the metric we should be looking at, the cases. We should be looking at hospitalizations and deaths. Right now, the people who get into trouble with the virus seem to be the ones who are not vaccinated or who have very serious underlying health conditions, which means that those of us who are relatively healthy, who are vaccinated and boosted, can go about our daily lives without having to live the way we have for the last couple of years. I think that's a great thing.
So let's move on to the Build Back Better talks. Is the president's domestic agenda still alive?
Well, here's what I care about. What I care about is that there's a lot of families in my district who are paying 15% of their income for child care. We can make them pay 7%, and that would cut in half most people's child care expenses. So if you're a family out there that's struggling to pay child care, boy, that's something you should want to get done. That's something I think we can still get done. We can negotiate prescription drug prices in the Medicare problem. We can make $35 insulin, by the way, a standard so that nobody pays more than $35. But every prescription drug that Medicare buys should be negotiated because we have huge buying power, and the drug companies have been getting away with murder on that. I think that would really help folks. We can get that done.
So why can't you just get that done?
Should be in preschool. We can get that done. Yeah. In other words, there's good things we can do. So if we can get the votes for it, we should get it done.
Why shouldn't you get the votes for it? It seems so insane that we are paying for things we shouldn't be paying for.
Well, look, I mean, I think everything in our system is tough. It doesn't mean we're broken. It means we're unfinished, and you got to go back and work for it. And if you don't have the votes, you don't have the votes. You can whine about it, or you can go back to work. Right now, we're going to keep working at these things. But I do think you've seen robust support for this in the House, which has where I serve, where we have passed this agenda. You know, there are a couple of senators who aren't there yet, and that's holding it up. But let's not forget, the president has passed historic infrastructure legislation. We're going to pass historic supply chain legislation that will also bring manufacturing jobs back to the United States. You'll hear that called the Competes Act coming up. It's going to get done. Bipartisan, big deal. We saved the American economy with a rescue plan, and that meant millions of small businesses and tens of thousands in the Hudson Valley are still in business. Those employees are still working there. So a lot has gotten done. And we're, God knows, better off than we were at the height of the pandemic. But we have more to do.
Let me ask you about Kevin McCarthy. There's some tapes that are out there right now. January 6th revelations. What do you make of all of that?
Well, I think the world has seen that Kevin McCarthy is not a truthful person, that he is a bald-faced liar. He said one thing. Reporters... Yeah, you know, said something else. He said it was wrong, and then they played the tapes, and we all saw he was lying, and not just about anything, but maybe some politicians out there, you know, lie casually. I don't, but if people think that happens all the time, remember this was about whether we should have accountability for the violent attack on the Capitol, and whether Kevin McCarthy knows who the good guys and the bad guys are, or whether the Republicans in the House know what all my local Republicans seem to understand, which is that it was wrong to attack the Capitol, and we should know what happened. A bunch of cops got beat up, got hurt. Guy I'm running against, sent two busloads of people down to the Capitol to engage in that insanity that went on January 6th. There are some facts here that we need to know, and Kevin McCarthy has been covering for the people who did the wrong thing. And I think people have something, you have a right to expect more, let me put it that way.
And we're running out of time here, but Governor Hochul, part A, how's she doing? And secondly, she'll have some opponents in the primary. Where are you on all that?
I support Governor Kathy Hochul. I think she's done a good job. She stepped in a very difficult situation. I think she's getting the big things right. She's got a budget done that I support, and a budget that makes important reforms to things like the cashless bail stuff they did up there in Albany a couple years ago. I'm glad that got done. I'm glad they're investing in our communities in ways that will help. So I think she's steadied the ship in some rough seas, and I think she's doing a good job. I support her.
We've been talking with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's beautiful 18th District. Been in office since 2013. Sean Patrick Maloney, thank you so much for joining us. We always look forward to our conversations.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Thank you.